The unfolding of the Word of God gives light and understanding to the simple. Join us as we listen to the Word of God from God's servant. Be blessed.
Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because what? His mercy endures forever." Now, before we sit down, as our tradition is, I will be reading the scriptures together. Can we go to Psalms 107? Psalms chapter number 107. Can you give us KJV? Okay, we read. We have to skip some verses. Okay, let's read verse 1 to 6 first. Can we go together? I want to go. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for he endures forever." Verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." "And gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in." Verse 5. "Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Verse 13, 18, and 28. Verse 13 now. Verse 13. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." Let's go to 18. "Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death." 19. Go to 19. "Then they did what? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and saved them out of their distresses." Now let's go to 27 and then 28. "They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end." Verse 28, the last verse. "Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and it brings them out of their distresses." Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise once again for this wonderful privilege we have to listen to the word again. Thank you, because the entrance of the word gives light and understanding to the simple. Father, we declare that we are simple hearted this morning. Spirit of God, we ask that you shine light upon the word. In the mighty name of Jesus, cause everyone to be blessed through the ministry of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that the light we receive this morning shall be for our lifting, and our lives to be better thereof. In the mighty name of Jesus, we forbid the devil from picking the word in the heart of anyone here. The word will not fall by the wayside; it will not fall on stony ground. But it will fall on the good soil of men's heart, that it may produce fruit 100-fold in the heart of everyone, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answered prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. You may be seated in God's presence. You're welcome to church. Can you greet your neighbor and say, "You are welcome to church"? Tell them, "You are looking beautiful." Hallelujah. I want to continue the tradition of Daddy, you know. That was what we did last Sunday. We all look beautiful. We thank God for this wonderful privilege to see the end of the year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful. The Lord has been good to us. The Bible says in James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, no inconsistencies, no shadow of turning with the Father." 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you have been called unto the fellowship of his Son Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians 10:18 says, "There is no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." God's faithfulness is repeated several times on the scriptures. The Bible says he has not dealt with us according to our sins, As far as the east is from the west, the Lord has taken our iniquities away from us. Hallelujah. If it was not the Lord who was on our side, all of us would have been swallowed up. We would have been swallowed up. But the Bible says his mercy is in the heavens. His faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. In other words, no matter how much your failings are, no matter how much you have failed, no matter your misadventure, the mercy of God still transcends everything. It says his judgment is like the great deep. That's the depth of the oceans. Ibu, Yoruba call it Ibu, Tino, Ibu, Ibu. So deep. It's so deep. It's like the bottomless. We cannot exhaust his mercy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to thank my daddy in the Lord for this privilege again to bring the word to us this morning. I do not take it for granted, daddy. We appreciate you, sir. Can you celebrate daddy for us? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For the confidence that he reposes in us, we do not take it for granted. It is not a small thing to stand on the exalted altar and then preach the word. It is not something light. It is not a light thing at all. The name of the Lord be magnified. This morning I was thinking of talking to us on a topic I will call When You Come to Your Wit's End. When You Come to Your Wit's End. W-I-T from Psalms 107 verse 27 that we read. Psalms 107 verse 27. When you come to your wit's end. It says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. I wish we could have another translation that puts it in a different way. Do you have the most versions use wit's end? Do you have the Bible in basic English? Yes. It says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. That is, all their wisdom has come to nothing. That is, when you reach a situation where you can no longer go any further, you cannot help yourself, your skills have become useless, your knowledge can no longer help you, you have tried everything you could and there is no way forward, you have done everything you can do humanly and you cannot help the situation any longer. That is what is called to be at your wit's end. They stumbled and staggered like drunks. All their skill was useless. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All of us come into situations in life when you notice that all your calculations, your reasonings, your mental faculties cannot help you. Science cannot help you. Knowledge cannot help you. At that stage, what do? The Bible prescribed what they did. When they arrived at that junction in their life, the Bible says they cried out to the Lord. It so commonly happens. And it is the experience of every human being that we experience this kind of situations. Very difficult circumstances, difficult situations in which you cannot help yourself, situations in which, unless God intervenes, you are likely to be taken away, situations in which, unless God helps you, things will remain the same and there will be no change. Job chapter 5, verse 5 to 6, sorry, Job chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, man, Job 5, 6, for affliction does not come from the dust. That he read it to us last week. Affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble spring from the ground. Verse 7, yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. Man is born for trouble. You will discover that in this world, the reality is that whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, there is trouble everywhere. We seem not to be able to escape it. There is trouble everywhere. Trouble, different types of trouble. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Can you give us Romans 8:23?
Let's see what it says. Romans 8. Or maybe you start from verse 22. Romans 8, 22. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The whole creation, nothing is exempted from this groaning, this trouble, these pains. Verse 23 now says, not only that, but we also, that is, we believers who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What are we saying? What we are saying is that as long as you belong to this part of creation, as long as you belong to this world, you will experience troubles. Troubles. Troubles comes in different ways. But the same scriptures that tell us that man is bound for trouble also tells us that not believers should be exempt from certain types of troubles. Hallelujah. There is deliverance, there is salvation, there is solution for those who know the Lord. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what happens? The Lord delivers him from them all. Troubles must happen. But not every trouble is meant for you as a child of God. James chapter 5 verse 13. What is the solution to affliction? James 5 13. Is anyone among you suffering? What is the prescription? Let him pray. It says, let him pray. Can you give us in the KJV, the Old King James Version? Is any among you what? Afflicted? Let him pray. The truth of the matter is that we have not really exhausted the possibilities of prayer. We have not really exhausted the possibilities in prayer. Because everywhere in the scriptures, we're encouraged to pray. The Bible says Jesus gave a parable to show that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke chapter 18 verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to give up, because there is the tendency that when you begin to pray and answers don't seem to come on time, we begin to grow relaxed. You begin to give up. The Bible says men, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 2. I want to establish certain things. Exodus chapter 2 verse 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel did what? They groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Next. So God heard their groanings. Hallelujah. The ears of God are not dull that they cannot hear. God heard their groanings. And God remembered what? God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Hallelujah. God remembered his covenant. We're still coming back to this issue of covenant. And God looked, verse 25, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Now, jump to chapter 3, from verse 7 to 10. Chapter 3. Now, this was when God appeared to Moses. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. I have seen. God sees. Said, I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. Therefore, I know their sorrows. Don't ever think God doesn't know what you are passing through. God knows. God knows what you are passing through. He sees. But he's waiting for you to take an action. Says, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Evite and the Jebusite. Verse 9. Now therefore, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. The last verse now, verse 10. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that she may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Hallelujah. What do we find here? We find that people that have been in slavery for up to 430 years. They were in slavery in the land of Egypt for 430 years. And the Bible says when they became tired by reason of the bondage, they cried to God. They cried. And the Bible says their cry came up to God in the heavens. And then God decided to act on their behalf. What if they didn't cry out? What if they didn't cry out? And then God raised a deliverer in the person of Moses to take them out of the land of Egypt to a good and a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. God always wants the best for his children. The plan of God was to take them from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and with honey. The Bible says God saw their affliction. The Lord heard their groanings. And then God remembered the covenant that they made with their fathers. Now, if it was for them, maybe God wouldn't have done anything. But there was a covenant. There was a covenant that God made with Abraham several centuries before then. Hundreds of centuries. They had been in captivity for 430 years as of this time. Hallelujah. God made a covenant with their fathers hundreds of years before this particular time. And the Bible says God remembered their covenant, that particular covenant. Covenants are very important. And we have a covenant in Christ. We're coming to that before we finish. Now, what does it mean to cry to God? The Bible says when they came to their wit's end. Let's go back to that Psalms 107. Psalms 107 verse 27. Yes, maybe we start from verse 25 so that we can understand it better. The Bible, okay, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lift up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depth. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. If you read this verse in simpler English, it was talking of people sailing upon the sea, and there was a big storm of wind, and it was as if the ship was going to capsize. Bible says they were reeling to and fro, and they came to a dead end. They came to a point where there was no hope that they would be saved. And that is why the Bible says they were at their wit's end. That is, they did everything. The word wit means intelligence. There's one version that says that they used all their skills as sailors. These people were sailors. They had a lot of skills. But having used it, and there was no solution, what did they do? Verse 28, the Bible says they cried out to the Lord. Hallelujah. They cried out. When you come to that point in life, where you cannot go any further, when you come to that point in life where you know you don't have any other option, most times, we don't get solutions because we have alternatives. Because we have crutches we can lean on. But when you come to that point, when, unless God helps you, you know you are done for, that is the time when God usually intervenes. When God steps into the situation. When he knows that you can no longer help yourself. You have tried all human reasoning and it has failed you. When you cry to God, Psalms 50 verse 15 says, call unto me. And give us Psalms chapter 50 verse 15. Call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will do what? I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. The truth of the matter is that we don't have to wait for troubles before we call upon the name of the Lord. Most times, we wait on the troubles come before we start calling upon the name of the Lord. we can do what is known as prayer investment. We can invest prayer into the future. We can pray, we can avert dangers, we can avert troubles even before they spring forth. And that is why we must not fail in the place of prayer. But for the purpose of today's message, when you are at your wit's end, what do? You cry to God. What does it mean to cry to God? It goes beyond just ordinary prayer. Hallelujah. I believe most of us have been in situations where maybe you have somebody who has maybe a death sentence, somebody is critically sick, and it's as if science cannot help. You know, I used to work in the hospital, and when you see people whose relatives are on admission and is about to die, you see the way people pray. People pray with all passion because they know that unless God helps, help will not come from anywhere. At that point, you have done everything you can do, humanly speaking. I remember when I was a medical student some years ago in Zaria, there was a very rich man, a billionaire, that was very sick, was my patient. And then he told me that, Kai, he was an awesome man, and then he said, money has failed. The money has failed. I couldn't take that off my mind. If it was money, it was a billionaire. But the money couldn't help him. Hallelujah. God has given us a lifeline. That is to call upon him in the day of trouble. Now, this calling that we're talking is the call of desperation. A call of desperation. A call of help. It was, when blind Bartimaeus called and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. It wasn't a quiet prayer. There are times when we need to shift gear in the place of prayer. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Luke 22, verse 44. Can you project it? Now, this is the story of Jesus, even our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says, and being in agony, what did he do? He prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly. There is a more earnestly in prayer. Hallelujah. We can always shift prayers. Shift gears in the place of prayer. The Bible says, then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You know, most times we don't show passion in prayer because we don't consider anything to be at stake. If something is at stake, emotions will enter into your prayer. The Bible says Jesus prayed so much that his sweat became like great drops of blood. And then he prayed more earnestly. Now, he was praying earnestly before now. And then at a time, he prayed more earnestly. This is what it means to cry out to God. To cry out. Cry out. Hallelujah. Don't ever accept the verdict of the devil over your life. Don't ever come to a place where you conclude that, well, maybe this is what has been written about me. Maybe I'm done for. Maybe this is my own destiny. This is my own I am. No, don't ever come to that point in your life. There is nothing God cannot change. Hallelujah. Let's just run through the scriptures and see examples of people who called upon God. The story of Hannah, we know it. Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. We know the story of Hannah. The Bible says Hannah prayed like a drunken woman. She prayed so much. She prayed like a drunken woman so much that Eli the prophet said, put away your wine. And then she said, no, I'm not a daughter of Belial. That out of the abundance of the sorrow in my heart. But, okay, let's read verse 10. Go to verse 10. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Verse 19 and 20. Okay, well, we don't have to go here. Now, we know the story. The Bible says, Anna prayed. And when the priest confronted her and said, put away your wine. Said, no, I'm not drunk, man of God, I'm not. I've only poured out of my out of the abundance of the grief and the bitterness in my heart. She poured everything before God. Hallelujah. When people cry to God, you know, it is not just ordinary prayer. It is a cry from a very bitter heart. If you consider the examples of all the people who cried to God, most of them were in a fixed state. A state where, unless God helped them, nothing else will help them. Hallelujah. The story of Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. There was that widow that brought a son to Elisha, and the son was dead. Elisha, the Bible says he locked the door. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. When Elisha came into the house, there was a child lying dead on his bed. You know the story. The woman said, "Man of God, you are the one that gave me the prophecy of this child. Now the child is dead. And he must wake up by force." Verse 33 now. The Bible says, "He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord." We are talking of death. We are talking of death. No science can resurrect a dead man. Hallelujah. Nothing else. Unless God did it, no one else could have done it. No one else. He was in a state of, he was fixed in this state, and then he prayed, and then there was a miracle. Now, another story is that of Hezekiah. Isaiah 37, we'll read two stories about Hezekiah. Isaiah 37, verse 14. Isaiah 37, verse 14. Hallelujah. There was a letter from the king of Assyria to Hezekiah. The Bible says that Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Next verse. What did he do? Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord and reported the matter to the Lord. Hezekiah was a king of Judah. And then he prayed. And then there was a very mighty deliverance. Hallelujah. Now, don't ever take life casual. Praise the Lord. Don't ever take life casual. Just as we were told last week, the spiritual controls the physical. The spiritual control the physical. The man knew what to do. He knew what to do. Now, Assyria was much more powerful than the land of Judah. They had conquered several other lands. And they were threatening to invade the land of Judah. And they wrote a letter. The king wrote a letter to Hezekiah. And the first thing he did was to go into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Lord, see what your enemy has written. And then he reminded God of all his promises. That this is what you promised our father. This is what you promised. There was a mighty deliverance that followed this. Now, let's go to Isaiah 38. Just one chapter after this. Verse 1. This same king, the Bible says, the time came when he became mortally sick. 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Now, he was sick. The Bible says he was critically sick. He was about to die. Not only that, the prophet of the Lord went to him and told him, "Write your will, put your children where you are, so you are supposed to put them because you are going to die." Now, it was not just about the medical diagnosis. The word also came from God, from the prophet, that he was going to die. And what did he do? Verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord. Go ahead. He prayed to the Lord. Verse 3. And said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Verse 4. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, just go ahead. Verse 5. "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Brethren, there are certain things God looks at. He said, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely, I will add to your days 15 years. He said, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. It was not just casual prayer. He prayed bitterly. The Bible says he wept bitterly before God. And then there was a great deliverance. See what verse 6 says? Verse 6. I will deliver it. Okay, go to verse 7. Okay. Now, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Now, verse 8. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sun there. You know, in those days, they didn't have this sun there was just like the clock. It's like God reversing the hand of the clock. He said, I will bring the shadow on the sun there, which has gone down with the sun 10 degrees backward. There's nothing God cannot do, brothers and sisters. There's nothing God cannot do. In the place of persevering prayer, crying to God when in trouble. But as I said, we don't have to wait until we fall into trouble. We can bank our prayers ahead of time. We have the story of Dorcas, Acts chapter 9. We won't read that. Now, another one I want to read is that of Peter, Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And I want to talk a little on that. Acts chapter 12 verse 5. The Bible says on the church, in the early church, Herod stretched forth his hand and killed James. James was one of the 12 apostles, 12 disciples. You know, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Bartholomew, and the rest of them. James, in fact, three of the disciples were very close to Jesus. Peter, James, and John. The Bible says James was killed. I've always asked myself, what would have happened? Why didn't God deliver him? You know, we ask a lot of questions. Why should this person die? This person was so close to Jesus. Why did he have to die this way? Why did he have to die in the first place? Even if he died, why did he have to die such a shameful death? The Bible says he was killed with a sword. He was killed. And it was as if God didn't come to his rescue. John the Baptist was killed. And Jesus didn't seem to do anything about it. Now, the Bible says, when Herod saw that what he did pleased the Jews, he proceeded further. Verse 3. Can you go to verse 3? When we fail to pray, these are the things that happen. And because... Okay, we start from verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, the devil is still doing this. To harass people in the church. You don't need a prophet to tell you that the devil is out there to harass you. The devil is out there to decimate the church. And that is why we have to keep praying. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Verse 3. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, what happened? He proceeded further to seize Peter also. When the devil does something and the church refuses to stand up in the place of prayer, you know what the devil will do? He will proceed further and it will cause greater havoc in the church. If the devil does something in your home, in your family, and you don't stand up and square up against him, he will proceed further and do something worse than that. The Bible says he proceeded further to seize Peter. And then he was targeting the pillars of the church. James was killed. And then Peter. That is why we need to pray for our father in the Lord, our mommies in the Lord, and the ministers. Why? Because you strike the shepherd, the sheep become scattered. Now, verse 4. What happened? So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Now, verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison. What happened? But constant prayer constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now, can you give us on the KJV? The Bible says prayer was made. Yes. It says, but prayer was made without season of the church unto God for him. The New King James says constant prayer. Old one says unceasing prayer was offered. They kept praying. They kept praying. It was like a prayer chain. In fact, by the time God would deliver Peter, he met them praying in the house of John Mark. People were praying for his release. Now, what if the church had concluded that, well, after all, we prayed for James and he still died? You know, I want us to know that no two cases are exactly the same. Don't ever conclude in your heart that because a particular case went one way, and then because you seem to be having something similar, you too will end up the same way. Don't ever conclude that way in your life. Hallelujah. Don't ever conclude that because James was killed, then Peter too will die the same way. No. Oh, that was a sickness that killed his father. And that was a sickness that killed his mother. She's also having the same thing. Don't ever entertain that kind of thought in your heart. No two cases are the same. No two cases are the same. The Bible says they made unceasing prayer. They didn't stop praying until there was a great deliverance by the church. Hallelujah. There was a great deliverance by God to Peter. We don't need to read the whole story. We know what happened. Now, I want us to consider the story of Moses. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to Exodus 14, verse 10. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Go ahead, please. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, why have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Go down. Is this not the word? Go to verse 14. It says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Somebody say amen. Verse 15 now. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Hallelujah. Why do you cry to me? Now, we've been talking about crying to God in times of trouble, right? But here was Moses crying to God, and God seems to be rebuking him that why are you crying to me? Says, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now, the sea was before them. The Egyptians were behind them. They were in a state of fix. They couldn't go back. They would be killed by Egyptians. And they couldn't enter into the sea. So he had no option but to cry to God. But God said, why? Tell them to go forward. How would that happen? Verse 16. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Now, what are we trying to say here? God had given Moses the authority to do certain things. There was a rod that God gave him, which symbolizes authority. We've been learning about the name of Jesus in our devotional over the past 3 days as the scepter of authority. Now, we must know when we need to stand in the place of authority and make commands. Now, God told Moses, you stretch forth your hand over the sea and divide it. It was not God who divided the sea for them. God told him, stretch forth your hand and divide it. I have given you the authority to do it. He said, divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground to the midst of the sea. He said, don't cry to me in this matter. What are we trying to say here? Now, John chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. John chapter 13, verse 14, 13 and 14. Sorry, John chapter 14, not 13. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." That what? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, who will do it? Said, "I will do it." Verse 14. "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 15, verse 16. John 15, 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that whatever you ask the Father, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Who is doing the giving here? Can you read? The Father. "Now whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Now, the place we read earlier, who is doing the giving? Huh? Jesus. Okay. Now, John chapter 16, verse 26. Okay, no. Verse 23. Read verse 23. I want us to understand something. "And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Who is doing the giving here? The Father. Then John chapter 15, verse 16, it is also the Father. But John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, what's the difference? It's not a contradiction. They are just two different ways of praying. Now, the first one is to exercise your authority. That was what God commanded Moses to do. The first one is to place a demand upon the name of Jesus. Now, if you read the accounts in the Gospels and even in the Acts of the Apostles, each time they wanted to pray for the sick or they cast out demons, they didn't used to pray. In Acts chapter 3, the Bible says, Peter and John at the beautiful gates, you know, they saw that lame man. They said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, that is placing a demand in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, there was this lady with a spirit of divination. The Bible says, Paul looked to her and said, "I command you to come out in the name of Jesus." Now, that is John 14, 13. You are placing a demand upon the name of Jesus. You are exercising your authority. That is the prayer of command. We must learn how to make commands using the name of Jesus. That's the scepter of our authority. Now, it is different from going to the Father in prayer and asking, "Father, please, in the name of Jesus, give me this, give me that." That is another form of prayer at all. Another type of prayer. But when you need to make commands, when you need to exercise your authority as a believer, this is what we mean by placing the man. Jesus said, "I will do it." Hallelujah. You must begin to exercise authority over circumstances, over situations. When you are sick, lay your hands upon yourself. You will be surprised at what will happen. I read the story of a man in the healing ministry. He said he prayed for how many thousands of people. He never saw anything. Until one day, something began to happen. And then God started using him in the healing ministry. You don't give up. You don't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is great to call upon God in the day of trouble. Hallelujah. It is equally important to know how to exercise your authority using the name of Jesus. That is your scepter. That's your scepter of authority, your rod of authority. Your rod of authority. Now, when they called upon God, what was the result? Psalms 109. Let's go back to Psalms 107. Psalms 107, verse 29. The Bible says, when they came to their wit's end, when they couldn't go any further, when their wisdom failed them, their knowledge failed them, all their calculations failed them, rational thinking failed them, nobody could help them. The Bible says, they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered them from their distresses. The Bible says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 30. There is salvation, there is deliverance when we cry out to God. Verse 30. Then they are glad because they are quiet. The storm is over. Now there is quietness. The Bible says, so he guides them to their desired haven. He took them to that place where they desire. When you cry to God, number one, there is deliverance. God still delivers. He says, call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. He says, call upon me. Call upon me. Call upon me, and I will deliver you. The Bible says God delivered them, and then God gave them gladness because they were quiet. Can you give us on the NLT? There was quietness. All the storms had become over, had gone over. The NLT, verse 30. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into the harbor. Hallelujah. You know, when there was that storm, Jesus said, peace, be still. It is not the plan of God, brothers and sisters, for us to be moving from one trouble to another. But if you find yourself in trouble, God has given us a prescription. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. This is not just superficial prayer. This is what the Bible calls petition or supplication. An intense kind of prayer. Something more than the ordinary that we used to do. These are the kind of prayers that opens the prison door. The Bible tells us in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 from verse 16. The Bible says Elias was a man of like nature like us. Elijah was a man just like us. And then he prayed that it would not rain. And it didn't rain for a space of 3 years. 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. You know, we've been talking about praying again and again. We shall not faint in the place of prayer. The Bible says, that, go back to that verse 16. The effectual fervent prayer. It says the effective, I'm reading the B part. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. Can you give us an Amplified? The word fervent means hot. That word fervor, it's from the word favor. It means to be hot. Now it says confess to one another, therefore your fault, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to spiritual tone of mind. Okay, it says the earnest, that is heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man does what? Makes tremendous power available. It is dynamic in its working. When we pray fervently, when we don't faint in the place of prayer, the Bible says over time, it will build, it will generate power. It will generate power. It will generate enough power. Enough power that will solve that problem in which you find yourself. Hallelujah. That is the meaning of persevering prayer. Continuous prayer. Continuous prayer. Very hot prayer. That was the kind of prayer Jesus made in Luke chapter 22, verse 44. The Bible says he prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible says unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer was made by the church for Peter. The church did not stop praying. They didn't say, oh, because James died, maybe everybody's appointed unto death. No, no, no. If something bad had happened in the past, that is not a testament to say it will continue to happen. As long as we all stand up in the place of prayer and confront the evil one. The Bible says resist the devil. And he will do what? He would flee. Resist. See, the Bible tells us to resist the devil. When it comes to the flesh, fornication, the Bible says flee. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from covetousness. Flee. Run away from idolatry. But when it comes to the devil, the Bible says confront him. Resist the devil. You don't run away from the devil. That's not a prescription. The Bible says we are meant to bruise the head of the serpent. Not the other way around. As Daddy would always say, the Bible says this sign will follow them that believe. In my name, they will pick up serpents. Not serpent picking us up. Today, it is the opposite. It is the opposite. Believers are under the affliction of the enemy because we have failed to take our rightful place as believers. Hallelujah. My time is almost spent. Now, when we pray, there are times when God will give you specific instructions. God may even tell you, stop praying. Start praising me. Like he did in the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Appoint singers. I'm going to praise the beauty of holiness. God will give you instructions. There are times. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. Solomon prayed and God said, if my people who are called by my name. There are times that God will give you conditions. He will give you conditions. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. God gave them about four conditions here. Said, then I will hear from heaven. There are times when God will give you conditions. Go and do this. Go and do that. When you fail to do it, you are not likely to get the results. God gives people instructions. Hallelujah. He gives instructions. God is a faithful God. He doesn't want you to keep leaping from one trouble to the other. Now, let me conclude with Isaiah 54 verse 10. Isaiah 54 verse 10. Isaiah 54 verse 10. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace, hallelujah, covenant of what? Peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. God has made a covenant of peace with us. The covenant we have in the Lord Jesus, the new covenant, is the covenant of peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Say, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Peace. Peace within us. Peace with God. Peace with our fellow men. Hallelujah. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Peace on your inside. Peace with God. Hallelujah. And then peace all around us. God does not want you to be like the Israelites who are under bondage, affliction, affliction of sickness, affliction of poverty, affliction. Affliction is not of God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all them that were oppressed of the devil. God is not the one behind oppression. God does not favor oppression. Hallelujah. It is not the will of God for you to be under bondage, under oppression. It is not the will of God for you to be groaning under pains. It is not the will of God for you to be bitter, in bitterness of soul. God told the Israelites, my plan is to bring you out of Egypt unto a land that is flowing with milk and honey. God wanted the best for the Israelites. Now, if he did it in the old covenant, how much more would he do in the new covenant? Hallelujah. God wants the best for us. Now, if you find yourself in a state you don't like, he has given us the prescription. James 5:13. Is any of you afflicted? Is any of you suffering? Let him pray. Now, we know there are some sufferings that will come, for example, persecution. Those ones are normal. But there are some kind of suffering that the Bible frowns against. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 13, there was that woman that was bent over by the spirit of infirmity. It was a spirit that caused that sickness. Jesus said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound 80 years? It is not the will of God for you to be sick. You are sickly from hospital to hospital. You know, things are not working well. It is not the will of God. It is high time you stood up and take your place as a child of God and remind him of his covenant of peace. The Bible tells us in that Exodus chapter 2 that we read that when the children of Israel cried to God, God remembered the covenant he made with their fathers. The covenant he made with their fathers, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then God delivered them. Now, God has given us a covenant of peace. As a matter of fact, the covenant we have in Christ is unconditional. He just blessed us with the covenant. Just believe in my son. It was not like the old covenant. They couldn't keep the terms of the covenant. They promised God all that you said we will do, but they couldn't do it. But for us, Jesus died for us, shed his blood. And then we have the peace. Peace in your home. Hallelujah. Peace in your heart. Peace in your workplace. Let somebody say amen. Peace within you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Peace in your body. In the mighty name of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Peace. It says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Always. In every way. Every way. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every affliction. Every pain. Every bitterness of the past, every groanings, they are being wiped away today in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will rise up on your behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will wipe away your tears in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will visit your case. He will put laughter in your mouth in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will send you great deliverance. In the mighty name of Jesus, when you come to your wit's end, where you can no longer help yourself, I want you to know that God is right there. He's just waiting to hear your voice. Isaiah chapter 30, we'll finish with that. Isaiah 30 verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 15, let me just read that place. And then we pray. Isaiah chapter 30. Hallelujah. Yes, verse 19 to, just read verse 19. It says, for the people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. Let somebody say amen. He will be very gracious to you. At the sound of your what? At the sound of your what? At the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer. But you have to cry. You have to cry. He sees your pains, but he may not do anything until you cry out to him in pain. Cry out. Let him know that you have reached the end of the road. Let him know that unless he helped you, you will die. And then God will rise on your behalf. Can you rise up as we pray together? Can we rise up? God's ears are not deaf. God is a God who answers prayers. Has given us ample instructions. Call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call unto me, I will answer. I will answer. I will show you great and inaccessible things. Things you never thought of. Can you lift up your voice to God in prayer? Just 1 minute. Can you cry out to God? Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Let God see your tears. Let him hear your sound. Let him hear the sound of a desperate person. A desperate person. Are you desperate enough? Are you desperate enough? Do you want that solution fast enough? Can you cry like Hezekiah before God? Can you pray the prayer of the Lord Jesus in that garden? He prayed so much that his sweat was like blood. If you want the kind of solution they had, then you must be ready to pray the way they prayed. Those are the kind of cry the Lord does not despise. Is there anybody here? You have heard this message, and then you want to say, Jesus, there is no peace. The Bible says the hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save. His ears are not deaf that they cannot hear. It says, but your sins have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins. Is anyone here? You have not accepted Jesus. You don't have him yet as your Lord and Savior. I can tell you that the Bible says, if anyone does not have the Son, if you don't have Jesus, it says you are condemned already. It says the anger, the wrath of God abides in you. There is no peace to you. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, it is crisis always. No Jesus, it is crisis always. But are you here? You want to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I give my life to you. Can you lift up your hands? Can you lift up your hands to him and say, Jesus, I surrender to you this morning. Is there any hand? Father, we give you praise. Thank you because your ears are always open to our prayers. Thank you because there is deliverance in your name. Thank you because there is healing in your name. Thank you because when we come to our wit's end, you are always there to bring solution across our path. Thank you because you are always there to deliver us from afflictions. Father, we give you the glory. Thank you because as the year draws to a close, Lord, you will visit your people again in the mighty name of Jesus. That good and pleasant land filled with milk and honey that you have promised your people, none will fall short of it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are grateful. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed with thanksgiving. Hallelujah.
We sure hope you have been blessed by the teaching of the Word of God. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, don't stop listening to the Word of God. For more messages from us, visit our website, www.thf.org.ng. You can also follow us on all our social media platforms at THF Church NG. Thank you.